You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Nerds!
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes!
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast presented by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller Time Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy, I mean, look, all right, we'll just say at the top, obviously, we get it. You know, the Rockies are 8-42. Like, that's, I get it. They are all
put the disclaimer out. Put the disclaimer out.
The Pirates aren't very good, but here's what I'm gonna lead with. That, first of all, the first time in the history of the Phillies, Bob Bertrand put this out earlier, I had Fransky say on the broadcast. First time in the history of the Phillies, they've ever swept a 7-game series in a season. They've never beaten a team 7-0 in a season, which is wild. You don't play that many of them always, but still pretty wild.
Yeah, but still.
But, dude, the Rockies are horrible. But this was like, they went out there and handled their freaking business. And they're slapping the ball over the field. The pitching's great. And here's what I really like. And we talked about with the McAble start. But, I mean, by far, I mean, this team's had, like, you know, some manufactured adversity so far this year early on with, you know, people doubting them and all that kind of stuff. But the true first real adversity that has faced this team is when one of their guys got popped for steroids, a big clubhouse guy, their best reliever. And the way they've responded is by rattling off 5 straight, granted against bad teams, but like doing it with like a purpose. It feels like, you know, it's way too early to say, but we've talked about this team needing a spark, a juice. Like, I could see them rallying, you know, out of this situation. Obviously, they need more arms, but man, I mean, Jordan Romano, best reliever in Phillies history, probably. I mean,
oh yeah,
up there. So I know it's not good teams and they beat up on bad teams, but I'm not gonna rip this team right now. I've been impressed with what they're doing.
Well, and like there was a moment on I think Monday night where it was 6-3 and Carlos Hernandez all of a sudden was in a semi type ball game.
Oh,
and that's the first time where it hit me where I was like, oh my gosh, they are an arm short out there for sure.
Maybe
but at the same time, you know, I always like to always bring things back to Eagles football. And
that's what you do. Yeah. I mean, the tush push. I figured half the pod would be devoted to the tush push. I just wasn't going to leave with it, you know.
By the way, I have started to describe the Eagles first fans as people that only check the box scores and don't watch the games. So, again, love my football team. But I think about the 17 team where obviously everyone got hurt and all of a sudden those guys started playing again, having out of body experiences. And while I don't,
and banding together, like it did bring them the, we all we need. I thought that was real. That was a powerful motivator, you know,
100%. So do I expect that's going to all of a sudden make Tanner Banks throw 97? No. Yeah. Do I like all of a sudden Jose Ruiz is a lockdown reliever? No. But at the same time, Jordan Romano, I was actually just was on, you know, WIP.
No big deal.
Off the top of my head, I mean, he's had four insanely fast closeout situations where it's just 1-2-3. So we had the Cubs game, the first game where people were like, oh, this looks a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You had the Guardians game Sunday night when you were in San Francisco and refused to do the podcast. You had the Pirates start on Sunday or Pirates outing on Sunday, where it's 1-2-3, and then tonight, like just shockingly quick outings. So
yeah,
you know,
again, eye test, man. We are eye test men. For those of you box score fans who maybe check in, as Jack just pointed out, he looks nasty. Like dudes are swinging 6 inches over pitches. He looks really good.
Well, and there's a couple sliders to start today's outing where I said to myself, I don't think I saw that on TV. Like, I thought they were so disgusting. Like, they completely disappeared. It was unfortunate what he did to our good friend, Mick. And he went slider down and then 97 up.
Mick showed up a bit, you know, in the he had the pinch hit early in the, game one or whatever, you know. We saw Mick do something.
By the way, just for those keeping track at home, Jeff Hoffman's ERA in May is over 16.
As it should be. Real quick, before we keep going with this, because, you know, we are the freaking worst podcasters who ever lived. You just mentioned Mick, and it made me think of the minors. And it made me think May 31st, like it's coming up. We got to get on this. 9 days away, we're going to see Mick play. To see Mick. We're going to see
him. sorry. A pro. Be a pro. It's 7:12. It's not 10:30 at night.
I'm here. I'm excited. I can't wait to talk. We're going to see Aiden Miller. It's going to be awesome. We're going to Reading. It's going to be really cool. I think it's going to be a really cool night up there. Jack's bringing the fam. So if you haven't met Walker or Sutton.
So are you.
Yeah. I am bringing Zoe. So get ready.
Yeah.
Zoe is, if you've never met Zoe, she will be very, very, very happy to meet all of you. So it's going to be awesome coming out. Both of our Twitters, you check it for, there's a link for tickets, like a ticket baggage and all that.
Well,
yes.
And the big news is
I didn't know if we could announce it. It's pretty exciting.
Aiden's going to stop by after and, you know, greet the group after the game. So I don't know if he's going to like take the mic or, you know, take pictures.
Well, look, we did talk to him on the pod and he's a talker. Like he was very, you know, good at talking and well-spoken and interesting, you know, so I'm sure he'll have some words there, but I don't know if he'll be like, you know, meeting and greeting however many people come, but we'll get to talk to Aiden Miller as a group.
Hopefully we can just get a big group photo.
Which would be cool.
That would be cool. So Aiden's going to stop by after the game. We're going to do a little meet and greet before the game. Now, this is for only Seltzer and I. We're not big timers. You know what I mean? Like, we don't want to big time people. We don't want to act like we're more than we are. We are throwing out the first pitch.
I can't believe it, dude. I'm like, this is crazy. This is crazy.
Which is
I
hilarious.
Never thought my life. Yeah, I never thought my life at any level. At Little League game, they'd ask me to throw out the first pitch.
No, so last time I threw out a first pitch at Reading, it was for a bet at the station.
Yes, you've done this. You're you know, an expert, an old timer at this.
Well, so I anticipate, right, that eventually we'll make our way to Lehigh Valley. And
the rise. I like this.
I like your heads at.
I mean, you know, they've you know, we've had some you know, there have been people who throw out first pitch here. You know, we could maybe someday get to that, you know, level.
Sure.
You
know? Now my biggest most people forget that it was at Lehigh Valley. It was at the Iron Pick Stadium where I hit 86 miles an hour. So
I do think people forgot that.
It would be my first time on that mound since I hit 86, got out of a first and third jam in the Carpenter Cup, and Bloomsburg looked at that and said, need him on.
I need him. Need this guy. Bring him here. I heard he keeps a great book.
Just know the game. Well, that's a big question with the first pitch of Reading. Do I try to gas it up to
get Oh, I know. Or? Yeah. It's been a little while since I've thrown a baseball. Shai's going cold. I'm probably not going to have a chance to throw a baseball beforehand.
You're 100% going to go on cold.
Yeah, what else am I going to do? I don't have anyone to throw a baseball with. So,
yeah,
Zoe's
well,
not
quite Zoe.
There yet. Zoe, honestly, Zoe is shockingly good at throwing and catching, like with, you know, little balls or whatever. Pause. Like, you know, like a not a baseball, a Nerf ball or something along those lines. Yes.
Well, and not to get ahead of myself.
Yes.
But like Walk might have a little bit of cutting action to his left.
Oh, buddy. See, yes. The lefty thing is a game changer, man. Every time I see Zoe throw lefty, I have like just a pang of pride that goes off in me. Like, I'm just like, yeah, it's awesome. You're awesome. Great job.
I'm not ready to project, but I see a little JP Howell.
Dude, you honestly, I want to not be hyperbolic about this, and I want to truly think about the correct number. You could have given me 5,000 guesses before I maybe considered getting around to JPL. Maybe.
What about George Sherrill?
I don't even remember George Sherrill.
George Sherrill, the Dodgers traded for in 2009.
What about Tom Eshelman?
No, Tom Eshelman's stunk. No, George Sherrill, the Dodgers traded for in 2009 to try to get out Utley and Howard, and it didn't work because the Phils won that series in 5 and 2009.
There you go.
Ring the bell book. God,
I don't know if that's the best way to sell the book. You might want to highlight them.
Dude, you're gonna be sick at the deep cuts.
I can't wait.
All the postseason runs that they went on. So we're going to Reading. Aiden's going to come stop by after the game. Seltzer and I are throwing out the first pitch. There's going to be a meet and greet before the game, and then we'll watch the game. Our families are going to be there. Wilmington was a phenomenal time.
It was one of the best days of my year last year. Like, it was so much fun. We had an amazing, amazing night.
And like Reading is even better. I mean, it's a baseball heaven, I think. Yeah. I love that ballpark. So I can't wait. I haven't been there since Jojo Romero started a game.
Wow.
Jojo Romero was on the mound. So
love it.
And we need to monitor the Keaton Anthony situation. It might be the next Rhys Hoskins. We need to be all over that.
Yep. This is good. Yep. This is good because we needed something else to monitor besides our guy. You know, Eden, last time, you know, we had Justin there, you know, now obviously, you know, Lehigh. So this, it's good to have something else. We also had our guy, was it Amarian Banks?
Amarian Boyd.
Boyd is so close. He got traded, right? But yeah, that dude had
hold on. Yeah. He was in the Cabo Kaba and Boyd. Oh, there we go.
Yes, that's what it was. That's what it was. Yeah, so thank you. Dude, he made two of the great catches I've ever seen in person.
He's special. He's special defensively. He can't hit, but he's
dude, he was awesome. So needless to say, like it was a really an awesome night. And like Jack said, the ballpark's so much fun and it'll be a great time. And look, you could say what Aiden Miller's, you know, a multiple time all-star MVP type player in the majors and perhaps the heir apparent to Mike Schmidt is the greatest Philly of all time. Like you could say, I was there. I took a picture with that guy and it was in double A. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So actually, I have two final thoughts here on Aiden and then we will.
Oh, we're going final thoughts already. Oh, you mean,
oh,
I got you. Okay.
On Aiden. Yeah. One, also,
I would have been like, no, we got to keep going.
Absolutely not. We got so much to talk about. So,
no, that's what I'm saying, you know? Come on.
Two quick things. One, it would also be, you'll also be able to see a Spider-Man meme moment between me and Reading Phillies broadcaster Jake Starr as to who is the big dog from Ruston High School.
So, oh, I like this. I like this. It's good.
Who is the face of Ruston?
Everything about this, I'm in on it. This is fantastic.
And then second thing, so I was, of course, like one would, I was watching the Reading versus Portland game at 11 a.m. this morning.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who wasn't?
And so Aiden is so interesting from the standpoint of he is a prospect that has such a good eye that he actually takes strikes sometimes. And he almost hit a home run in the ninth. He hit a ball earlier. He's hitting, I think 310 in his last 13 games, whatever, something along those lines. He's a 20-year-old playing at double A, and I look at him, and I just think that when he's 25, 26, and he starts like really figuring out the league, he's gonna be special. Like he is going to be a special, special player. At the worst case scenario, he's gonna hit like 25 home runs and have a super high OBP. And like that's still a valuable player. His eye is ridiculous. And he's a cocky walk guy, which I appreciate. I actually like a cocky walk guy more than a pimping home run guy.
I'm with you. I like the cocky walk.
I'm in on the cocky walk.
Schwarber's a cocky walk guy. Yeah, Schwarber like tosses the bat, immediately goes down for the shin guard. You know, he's like, this is my walk. He's like, you are not taking that. Like, I love it. Like, I'm so with you. I think about that all the time. Like, that attitude when they get a walk is, and especially at that age, like, just as a more macro thing, like the good eye, having that control of the strike zone at young ages is always, especially when they're super talented, is a really, really good sign for a young hitter.
Yeah. No. So that's final thought on Aiden. Let's get back to seven straight.
Let's talk Phils. All right.
Major League Club.
So address the opponent thing, and then we'll dive into the specifics of the series. But you didn't really get a chance to dive in on the fact that, look, they flashed a graphic. I think it was a couple games. I think at this point, if you're doing the math, they're either like 18-3 or 19-3 against teams below 500. Like, so, you know, on the one hand, we've seen many years where we're like handle business against the Marlins and the crappy teams, and they don't. So you have to do that as a good team. But I do think that, you know, if there are people are going to criticize the team right now, and it is hard, they've really played good baseball for the last, you know, month or whatever it's been. And the hitting is looks so much better. And we all know the you know, we'll see what happens in the playoffs of it all. But I think the fair criticism of the team, or if people have a fair criticism, it's the opponents, you know, your thoughts on kind of the run, but it being against a, you know, a couple of really bad teams.
I have watched this team play down to competition for a majority of my adult life. So I personally don't care. Now, I think there's two things. I think one, the quality opponent does matter. I think that's fair. But you can also show signs of fraudulence against teams. And I don't feel that. Like Sunday against Skeens, if you want to say that the offense sucked, dude, it's Paul Skeens. If you like, sometimes it's just okay. Sometimes it's just okay to say the guy's pretty damn good and tip your cap to him. And at least they won a ball game. And wow, Germán Márquez is not Paul Skeens. He had
he's giving us trouble.
At one point, he was one of the better pitchers in the National League. He's falling off a cliff, whatever. So today was just about getting out of there with a win. But I haven't seen fraudulence. And if you're one of those people that is still like, blah, 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 October, 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 and you can't enjoy this, I just think you're miserable. I just think you're an absolutely miserable, miserable hump. I really do, because this has been more real than not real. And what is so fascinating about how I currently feel about the team is I didn't expect to feel this way. I really didn't. And for as much as I love this team and I consider them a true family member, I really do. The Phillies are a part of my family.
Yep, we know.
I don't think I've been as skeptical or hard on them as I've been this year, because I was frustrated. I was mad. I wanted them to be better, and they didn't really do a lot offensively to change whether or not that they were going to be better. And I didn't believe that a group of pretty established big leaguers, guys that are in their, you know, prime of their career or in their late 20s, early 30s. Or a little past
it in some cases. Yeah, exactly.
I didn't believe that they could hit the ball the opposite way and use the entire field. But to their credit, they're doing the little things so much better. And I think it starts with two guys. I think one, it starts with Harper. Harper is the face of the team. He is the heartbeat of the team. Well, Schwarber's the heartbeat of the team. Harper is the guy that people look to and say, if he's doing it, what's my excuse? And I think that's been the biggest development here, is that we talk about using the whole field and going the opposite way and passing the baton. All he talked about was pass the baton, pass the baton, pass the baton. And he's doing that. Dude, 2.5 weeks ago, he's hitting 228. He's hitting 275. He is passing the baton. He is going the opposite way. He's using the entire field. And Trey Turner, your two $300 million players, they have bought into this approach. And if they're buying in, then what's the excuse? You feel pretty good about the overall offense. You know, Stott has settled into the leadoff spot. I think there's been a little bit too much negative reaction when he's out of the lineup against lefties. Edmundo Sosa has to play. I mean, I don't know what Edmundo Sosa's hitting 386.
He hasn't slowed down. He just had a 4-8 game, you know, with Homer. You know, like, come on,
I know. And Stott, while he's been phenomenal this year, his OPS against lefties is 570. So Edmundo has to play. Now, maybe that comes in left field and you let Stott cook, whatever. I don't know. But I'm fine with figuring out a way to get Edmundo in there. But you've settled into a lineup here. And then you go all throughout it. And Turner's been so good. Harper's been so good. Schwarber's obviously been 300 home runs.
He's been the MVP of the team. He's one of the MVP candidates in the National League. Like, he is legitimately, if you like, he's one of the top MVP candidates in the National League.
And we've dissected and broken down. I don't care if it's now. I don't care if it's after the season. Guy can't leave. And I actually want to make sure we talk about this. Where are you at on the Schwarber 500 home run thing? Like, I mean,
oh yeah, no, it's a fair thing, especially when you look at the difference between how long it took him to, you know, hit. Like, he basically has the same amount. He's got a few more in Philly than he had in Chicago. It was like 7 years to get to the number he got in Chicago, and he's done what he's done in Philly, the same amount of home runs in 3 years. So, or three and a half, yeah, three and two months, whatever. I mean, it's a real thing. I think he has a real shot, especially because I think he's going to age well as a hitter. He has such prodigious power that doesn't feel like it's going to completely go away, that he can age into someone who can, even if he's not hitting, you know, 58 or whatever he's on pace for, ends up at 50 something or high 40s, even if he's hitting like, if he can go, you know, into his late 30s and even 40 as a DH, which he absolutely could, and towards the end stack up 30 home run seasons, I mean, he'll get there. So, you know, I think, you know, what's he got? 7 years. What's he, 32? 7 years in his 30s.
32.
You know? Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think he has a real chance to get to 500. Dude. And honestly, who'd have thunk that if we had said between Bryce and Schwarber, that we would say absolutely Schwarber has a better chance to get to 500 than Bryce does. And I think they both have a good chance, but I think at this point you have to say Schwarber. How far is he behind Bryce? Bryce isn't that far.
He's, boy, he's still 43 home runs behind Bryce.
Oh, it's 43. Okay. But even still, I mean, honestly, I think it, let's put it this way. I didn't realize it was that many. I thought it was like 20 or so. If it's 43, that is more. But I don't think it'd be a crazy bet to bet on Schwarber to finish with more career home runs than Harper. I mean, he's the same age.
Either way, I think he's going to end up being a year younger. But whatever. The
Schwarber's going to be a year younger than Bryce.
Schwarber's going to end up being he's behind him. I would die if we're doing this podcast. 2031
Yeah, well, I'm sure we will be. I don't see why we wouldn't be, you know.
Dude, that's crazy. It's like only
I don't think either of us are gonna have enough money to retire by then. And this is our favorite thing that we do, so I may as well keep doing it.
I'm not even gonna be 40 yet.
I think hopefully I don't let's put it this way, I don't plan on stopping this podcast by then.
So when we're doing this podcast in 2031. We could have a Harper 500 home run chase and a Schwarber 500 home run chase. It's part of the reason why I need him extended. I need both of them going for 500 at the same time.
Yeah, look, they have to extend him. I don't mind if they wait till the offseason, but like, because I don't think it's going to be much cheaper at this moment. Maybe if it's a lull, but I'm with you. And I just think he's going to age well, especially if you can sign him for 4 more years. I don't think that Kyle Schwarber at 36 is going to be that different a hitter than 32. I think it'll be different, but not that much. I mean, he has such quick wrists and such strong arms and all that I just think his home run floor, even as he ages, is higher than most of you. You know what I mean?
And he's fine taking a walk. He's got a great eye. Always take a walk. So yeah, I just starting dreaming about, because Kyle Schwarber before he became a Philly could not have sniffed the Hall of Fame. It was so far away from the Hall of Fame, not even close. He gets to 500 home runs, he's in, which is that's a crazy run. It's for as much as we talk about him as the Ortiz of the Phillies, that's Ortiz level.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day, because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Nerds first.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Well, that's what it would be. I mean, it'd be a really similar career arc in a way, actually.
Yeah.
You know, it was. I mean, Ortiz with the Twins. Does anyone remember Ortiz with the Twins? I do. Yeah, he wasn't David Ortiz with the Red Sox.
He was not David Ortiz.
Yeah.
Now, in the early years in Boston, it might have been aided by something.
Oh, no. Why?
No, not our Big Poppy. No.
No, those guys.
He's not
Manny. Manny must have done it, but not him. They didn't do it.
Yeah. He's allowed in, but and Pudge Rodriguez is allowed in, but Barry Bonds is, that's where we draw the line.
Ridiculous. Mike Piazza. I mean, who knows how many people there are? I mean, you know, and I don't think Piazza took it, but like he might have. I mean, my point is like all these guys in this time, like I have no idea who. Like I can't look at any, even the pitchers from that era. Like, I mean, you hear stuff like Buster only reported like 90% of players were taking it. Like, who knows? But regardless, I think I think it's insane that we could even mention Kyle Schwarber as a Hall of Famer. But look, if he gets 500 home runs and his history as a winner, especially if he can win here, you know, if they could actually, you know, get it done, which, you know, obviously we're dying for that. I mean, that's a resume to like be a, especially because I think if he continues to go, the legend of him will grow as a leader and as a, you know, clubhouse guy and all that. I do think that, you know, it would be a really compelling case. And look, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but it would be compelling.
Well, even if he gets to 450, I mean, 450 home runs is not, if he gets another World, God forbid, another World Series and 450 home runs, it starts getting closer and closer, which is crazy because I remember heading into that, I won Schwarber. He's the guy I wanted all offseason.
Yeah, you were strong on that.
Thrilled. Did not see this coming.
I mean, well, especially just, the first year because he had a bunch of homers. But remember, he had like 189 or something that first year?
Oh, his first two years. I mean, his first two years, really.
3 years, really. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I've done 4 years now. All right. I want to also mention, because you did talk about the Trey and Arbor thing, and I think that's been so huge because I totally agree with you. I mean, they're the engine of line. Schwarber has been the MVP, but like to your point, when Harper and Turner are doing what they're doing, and now they've mixed in some power, which makes it, you know, elite. And Harper, you know, maybe we should just get any struggling athlete in Philly to shave their head or coach. I mean, between Sirianni and Harper, I mean, this is like, feels like pretty empirical evidence on this.
If this podcast ever struggles, I think we know what we have to do.
I'm in. I'll do it.
And I already said on the air, if they make the World Series, I'll shave my head. Anything for Bryce.
You love to throw stuff out there. You know, thank God you don't have Juan Fritz instead of Sutton.
I cannot wait to talk about Juan Soto and take.
We'll get there. Don't worry, we're gonna get there because I am with you. But the other thing too, and the other thing with Trey is he's running. Trey's running again, and that was such a thing where it was like when he first started kind of hitting like this, it was like just singles. Maybe a double here and there, but he wasn't really running. He wasn't driving in runs. Now he's starting to hit home runs again. He's flying around the base paths. They're doing double steals out there. They're putting pressure on the pitching, on the defense. Like they are, it makes him into so much more of a weapon when they're using his entire skill set. That was the thing that when they brought him here, we were so excited about. Like, you know, one of my favorite players of all time, and he was a Philly for a second, but I love Kenny Lofton. I love the way that dude played. I love that, like, he was such a spark plug to start games. He would, you know, get on teams' nerves. He was always out there causing chaos. I remember him scoring from second in the playoffs on Randy Johnson, the Mariners. Like, he's like Turner is like that, but better, you know, and when he's firing, and also when he does get a hold of one, when his swing is right. And we've talked about this before, but you know, there will never be a right-handed swing that is prettier than the prettiest left-handed ones. You know, back to the lefty thing, but the Griffies, the, you know, David Justices, whatever you want to say, all these beautiful left-handed swings when they get a hold of one. But I think Turner, when he gets a hold of one, is up there with the prettiest white right-handed swings I've ever seen in my life.
I listen, and I think he's in a nice spot from the standpoint of he's not chasing home runs. He's driving the ball.
He's trying to drive the ball.
And it's not just singles anymore. Like when he was, and I think that's what we said about 2 weeks ago, where it's fine. Like for right now, you take the singles, you get above 300, you get on base, you cause havoc, and the power will eventually come. And slowly but surely it's coming. But it's also, he got a triple the other night, and man, he's one of those people that it doesn't look like his feet are touching the ground.
It looks like he's gliding. It's like he's like on air, just like gliding across the, like when you'll see like in a movie where it's like an angel or something and they just kind of glide, that like that's what he looks like. Like he doesn't have feet. He's just gliding around the bases. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So I don't know if I even brought this up already. I've been talking about the Phillies since about 2 o'clock today.
That's what you hate doing, having to talk Phillies all day. Yeah.
When they're playing well, you can't get me off WIP. When they're playing bad, don't have an answer. but I mean, he's hitting again 464 since April 27th on 4-seam really on fastballs, which is crazy. That's a lot. And the biggest development is a 2-strike approach. Like he now today he swung and missed on a couple sliders. He clearly was not seeing Marquez's slider very well at all. But, you know, I think before that, and I said this the other night, but he struck out on two fastballs looking the other night. And I said, fine. Like, you're going to strike out. I get it. It's the chase stuff that drives everyone nuts. He has done such a better job of not chasing and not being out of the strike zone and not, you know, making the pitcher's job that much easier. And with two strikes, he's developed a nice little toe tap to where he's not like early in counts. He's fine having a big load and then trying to launch baseballs and he's trying to do damage early in counts. And then with two strikes, he does a toe tap. He shortens up and he's not as easy of an out. And listen, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that he was the starter in the All-Star game last year. He has played good baseball in a Phillies uniform, but post
he did, he was break, unbelievable after the ovation. Like he just was whether, you know, that whole thing, like he went for 2 months. He was one of, if not the best hitters in baseball, you know, certainly at his position.
But so we've seen this before and post All-Star break last year, he hurt his hamstring and did not bounce back ever since. But like, this is the Trey Turner they signed. I mean, he's the second most hits in the National League to Freddie Freeman in the last month. I mean, that's what they signed. Are there infield hits? Sure. But at the same time, use your speed.
Don't care.
He's doing much more damage.
As long as he's doing – exactly. Yeah, as long as there's doubles and homers and triples and stealing bases, like, cool, man. Do it all.
This is what they signed. I mean, this is what they signed. And he – he just raises the floor for this team so much because I think we've talked a lot about Harper's the best player. That's fine. You know, we love Kyle Schwarber, but they needed a second star. They need a real second star that can help carry them when Harper struggles, when Schwarber struggles, and Trey is currently doing that.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And look, credit to a lot of the guys. Like, I mean, Castellanos is staying consistent for the majority of the season. You know, he hasn't really fallen into those slumps. Yeah, and approach-wise, too. And look, Boehm, I mean, the disastrous start to the season. I mean, he's raised his average a ton. He's hit a couple, three homers now, maybe. Like, he's, you know, it's not the power we want from the guy, but, you know, he has kind of righted the ship. When it felt like there was a moment there, obviously with the, you know, and look, we still in a big spot, throws his helmet, whatever. We could be right back where we were and, you know, acts like, you know, he shouldn't. But like, no, I'm just saying down the road, I'm just saying for right now, like he deserves credit for righting the ship and kind of getting his mind right and going out and lowering him, getting lowered in the lineup and responding well to it. And one other person that know, I know I haven't given enough credit to, I think, certainly over, you know, the run and them getting better is Topper. I mean, I think he's done a really good job with this team, with the lineup, the kind of changes in and out. I you know, Sosa, it's like playing more, but at the same time that they're hitting, and whenever he does play, it comes through. So maybe it is the right amount. I don't know. Like, I would like to see him a little more, but I get it. I think he's done a nice job with the bullpen, kind of getting the pieces together that he's had. And then after losing Alvarado, and, you know, obviously players playing better have helped him, but I think he's done a nice job of kind of keeping the ship straight when there were some hiccups and there were some moments and there were some real slumps and some seemingly, you know, maybe not just poor play, but, you know, people falling back in old habits. And I've been impressed with the way, to your point too, about the approach. And it does feel like they actually, and again, we know they have to do it in the playoffs. I feel like you can't get by with that. But like, so far at this point in the season, just watch them. Like, they're doing it. They're playing small ball, you know, they're slapping the ball over the field. And now Harper's starting at home runs, Turner's starting at home runs. I mean, that's when the lineup, this lineup that was constructed the way it was constructed with Schwarber and Castellanos and Turner and Harper, when that first all happened, and like, you know, the what it could be, we've never really seen it all work together. You know, right now, the last, you know, few weeks is about as good as it looked, has looked, you know, top to bottom. It's about as good. And granted, I get competition, but this is about as good as this group of guys has looked together. And it's partially because of the way they've approached it and the way they've gone about their business. It's just, you know, credit where due kind of thing, you know?
Well, and I think the one thing he deserves credit for is the Stott move to the top of the lineup.
Totally.
Which is not something, I don't believe that's, I think that's a Rob Thompson decision. I have no information on this, but I think that is a, I think it's a Rob Thompson decision from the standpoint of, I don't believe the analytics department believes
it's a gut, it's a gut decision. Yeah. It's a Rob Thompson. I know this guy, I know he's a leadoff hitter type thing. Yeah.
And I think he's been wanting that for a little bit now, you know, and honestly, having back to back lefties in Schwarber.
Yeah. It's a great call.
And
not we always not like, we got it, but we were never, you know, you have to do it this way. I certainly didn't like the lefty-right all the time. Like, I didn't like the adherence to it. I'm fine if it makes sense, but I didn't like shaping the lineup totally around that principle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Schwarber's just been so good against lefties. It's made it that much easier. So I think he deserves credit from that standpoint. And then, I mean, he is the fat, I believe this was on the broadcast today, but he's the fast manager to 300 wins.
Yeah.
In Philly's history, which is impressive. He's up there with Charlie, up there with Dallas Green, of course. I just wonder if, I mean, they won 95 games last year. They had the best record in the National League. And I think that people are trusting this team, but we don't talk about them as one of the best teams in the National League for some reason. And I think outside looking in, I think they view the conversation around them pretty crazy, mm-hmm. but they might be
critically. Yeah.
They might be on pace. I mean, they might win 95 plus games again,
sure. Yep.
and win the National League or win the National League East. And it hasn't always been smooth sailing here. And, you know, we had Stotter on last Friday on the afternoon show. And, you know, I actually asked him, like, what does Rob Thompson accountability look like? Because everyone says he does nothing. He just sits there and sets the lineup and blah, 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 blah. You know, he talked about how, like, when things go wrong, he calls people in the office and makes sure they correct it. And they, he said something similar to what the Eagles players always say about Sirianni. Again, I always love to bring things back to the Eagles.
You do.
But
I would honestly, I was thinking about a Sirianni comparison there too. So, you know, I get it.
But all those players talk about how they would run through a brick wall for Nick Sirianni, and the Phillies talk similarly about Rob Thompson. So much like Nick Sirianni, maybe we just got to listen to him. Maybe we just got to listen to the players when they are so mostly overwhelming about how much they like playing for the guy. So I think he's done a good job. This is going to be a big test without Alvarado. It's going to be a big test as to what they do with the rotation and who they decide to put in the bullpen and how that whole thing shakes out. But I think for the most part, and I've always felt this, his decisions are largely based in logic. every decision with a manager is a coin flip. It's a 50-50 proposition whether or not it's going to work or not. I have felt for the majority of his time as Phillies manager that he has largely made the decision I would have made.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like outside, you know, I think, you know, he's had a, I don't think, we know he's
Kimbrel.
He's had a couple big high profile whopper bad decisions.
Kimbrel.
Wheeler in game six, you know, we've had.
Even that there, one, I sort of.
I get it, but I wouldn't have done it, but I get it. But like that, you know, Kimbrel's obviously the worst of them, but yeah, I think for the most part, he's been a pretty damn good manager here. And to your point, the guys love him. The guys fight for him. The guys play for him. You know, at the end of the day with the baseball manager, that might be as important as anything. And just having a feel for your team, knowing when to give guys a blow, knowing when to go to certain guys in the pen, to not go to certain guys, when certain guys don't have it. We've definitely seen instances where he hasn't had a feel for that in situations. But I think more often than not, he has a pretty good, you know, pretty good read on those things. And I think that's what really makes a good manager in baseball. All right, one other thing, and then we'll get to the take bags. I'm sure you got a bunch of stuff. And I also can't wait to talk about Juan Soto. If the Phillies had not swept the Rockies, I might have been like, all right, we'll get back to the Phillies. Can we talk about Juan Soto? But look, and I'm sure if you got other stuff on the other pitches, I mean, Jesus was great. You know, the pitching was really solid there. But the Ranger thing, because he was awesome again, and I know the Rockies stink, but he, you know, ever since that first outing, which, you know, at this point, it feels like just throw it in the trash. It was this spring training pro, you know, regular season outing. He's been awesome, man. Other than one inning in that second start, he hasn't given him any runs. He's been lights out and he's looked it. What is it like from a, cause when Alvarado, even last week when we did the pod after the Pirates game, after the Able game, which is, you know, only last week was that, you know, 5 days ago, 4.5 days ago, whatever it was. We talked about, you're like Ranger of the pen. It makes most sense. It's the thing that down the road, and I get the Boris thing, but it makes the most sense. And the Ranger comes out and just throws another jab. You know, it's like, where are you at with the Ranger thing overall?
Yeah, it's tough. And this is always the thing where all these guys were, I mean, God forbid, the decision they would have to make when, if all these guys are healthy and all these guys are pitching well, what are they going to do? I thought Ranger was, obviously, the overall line was fine. I thought it was a bit grinded out, and it was one of those outings where I looked at, if that wasn't the Rockies, how does that go?
Sure.
But at the same time, I think it's tough to pitch in Colorado, and, you know, the balls technically are usually just flattened out there, so whatever. It's Colorado.
Not for pitchers like him, too, who rely on movement and play
that was the, and stuff. That was the worst third strike call I've ever seen in my entire life with first and third two outs. It was shocking.
It was really, really, really bad. Really bad. Yeah.
It was really bad.
Yeah, so, we've seen some whoppers, but that was bad.
That was, I mean, even Marchand, who, I mean, obviously catchers are trying to steal strikes now and bring pitches back. Mm-hmm. He didn't even try. He knew.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking or music. Or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Was a ball, which is probably a bad sign for the umpire.
Dude, but he didn't get up. He sat down and he was just like he was about to throw the ball back. He literally got up to throw the ball back and then he was like, "Oh, okay."
It was
one of the most awkward things I've ever seen. It really was strange.
It could have been one of those times where everyone got together and was like, "That's a mess."
Come on, guys.
Like,
"Come on, guys. Let's go." Yeah. We're good.
Umpire got caught up in the moment. He wanted a strike 3 call. It wasn't a strike, but and I actually thought, dude, Lizardo is pitching to a 195 through 10 starts, which only unreal. 9 Phillies have ever done, and I think he's the second lefty to ever do. He's 10 been phenomenal. Yeah,
like
he. But even that was more grinded out than pure dominance.
I agree with you. I mean, it's Colorado. So, I think it's even though they stink, it's just a hard place to pitch. The ball doesn't move the way you want it to. You know.
Yeah. But either way, I mean, starters out there have really done a job, So,
big pass.
So, yeah, I legitimately, I usually have an answer for you. I have no idea. I really don't.
I think it's evolving. I think it's an evolving situation. Honestly, I think that's the best way to put it. I don't think there is an answer for right now. There's so many factors in this. And right now, they don't have to replace Alvarado in that way yet. It's a fascinating thing to track this. It's going to be one of the most fascinating storylines all year long, I think.
And it's going to be affected at the deadline.
Yeah. I mean,
big time.
It could affect the
deadline, what the decision has to be. If they're like, hey, you know what? We can't move into the pen. If they decided that the deadline, Ranger feels like he's done enough, Boris, whatever, who knows? I mean, there's so many factors. It's going to be
interesting. And it was interesting. Thompson said the other night that Taiwan is – after this start, or not after the start, when Nola's back and he's going to be in the rotation and he's throwing a bullpen this weekend, that Taiwan is going to the bullpen, but he's sticking as a reliever. So they're going to try to turn him into maybe a late inning guy again.
Oh, God, buddy. Let's go.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
I just don't see it. I love him as a long man. Like, I have no problem with that. Like, a better version of oh my God, I was about to say Dylan Cousins. That's not right.
Dylan Covey?
Dylan Covey. Thank you. Dylan Covey. I was like, Dylan Cousins is not right. Dylan Covey, like a better version of that guy, what he was for the. You need those guys over the course of the season. I think Taiwan could be great at that.
Yeah. So, but he said that even if there's a spot start that comes up, we'll call someone up, which I think leads the way to Painter, you know, because Painter's close. He threw 70 pitches again the other night. So that's back-to-back starts with over 70 pitches, which he hasn't done in a good amount of time. He's not going to the bullpen. They've made that clear. They want to develop him as a starter. That throws another wrench in this whole thing. They have too many starters. They have too many starters.
And not enough relievers. There you go. Yeah.
It's crazy. So something's going to give here. Hopefully it's not an injury.
Who'd have thunk it, Jack? Who'd have thunk we'd ever be at this day? We got too many starters. Oh, my God. You know?
I know. So it's great. It's great. It's fun. It makes games enjoyable. But Dave Dombrowski, if I could go into the walls of Citizens Bank Park, He's probably sitting there like, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Whatever. It'll all work out. I don't know what he can do. I don't know what he can
do. He's going to have a plethora of starters. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. All right, let's take back.
Well, I mean, and speaking of that, like in take back, you're already starting to see Thompson have to extend starters, which is fine in May, but it does make you worried about the end of the season. He stretched Lizardo one inning further than I thought he had to go. He stretched Ranger one inning further today than he had to go. Now, he eventually pulled Ranger. I actually thought he got Ranger at a really good time, and he went to Kirkring and whatever. It worked out fine. But you're already starting to see it from that standpoint where he's giving these guys extra leash because he's down a key member of the bullpen. So that's going to be one to kind of monitor over the next little stretch here. But I think you're already starting to see that stuff. Gene Segura retired.
Shout out. Who could forget the 200th double?
Who could forget it? Love him. Jimmy Siggs.
I mean, seriously, you know. the hit in St. Louis, like we talked about, you know, and that was one of the most fun things about 2022 and 2023, but particularly that first run is you talk so long about having new highlights and new playoff moments because we hadn't had any in a decade. And, you know, that there are a lot on that run. Obviously, Bedlam with the bang at the top and all that stuff. But I think that Gene one, as we age, will be really high on the list because it did feel real hopeless in that moment. And then it felt like once Segura hit that, like it felt like everything changed for that team and about that team, you know? So I'll always remember that. And obviously at the great game against the Padres, that play, the hits, like, but I'll always remember when I think of Gene first, as much as I'll joke about the 200th double, I'll remember that hit in St. Louis without a doubt, first and foremost, and his little skip jump thing. The joy, him like waiting, him being that, what was at the time, the longest tenured player in baseball to not play in a playoff game on stuff. It was just like, I'm getting a little, you know, a little emotional. Sorry. I love you, Gene. You're the man, dude. Jimmy Siggs.
Well, and it's so crazy watching his arc in Philadelphia because for a little bit there, he was the guy that aided in McCutcheon tearing his ACL.
Yeah.
And people were obsessed with that one. And
some people were obsessed with that one.
Very
obsessed with that.
And I mean, you read the stories that caused him to start drinking a lot.
Drinking, I know, it's horrible, man. It's horrible.
So you feel bad for that standpoint, but then to have the turnaround and playing a phenomenal second base and just having a guy that could put the bat on the baseball, you appreciated that about Gene Segura. And obviously the big hit in St. Louis, but I loved whenever they would intentionally walk someone to get to Gene. He took it so personally. He took and largely came through. I think led the team walk-off hits that year. Man, I love Gene Segura. I miss Gene Segura. And you know, good luck in retirement. He's going to be fine. Yeah. He's going to be great.
Yeah. Oh, he seems like someone who just loves life. You know what I mean?
Oh, and, for sure.
Yeah. And also one of those guys who whenever, you know, when he was on the team, whenever, you know, people would get those questions in the locker room about like, who's your favorite teammate or whatever, he was always one of the first names and not the first name brought up. Just seemed like a very likable guy, all that. So I'm with you. Really cool to see that arc for him. Especially, we were excited when they brought him in. We had talked on the pod prior to him being here about a Gene Segura type. First, we didn't want him. Then we wanted him. Then we hated it. The start, and then he turned it around. It was beautiful. And then we were lamenting. Then he was like cooked, and we're just like, "Would you bring back Gene Segura? Somebody can put the bat on the baseball." So, that's Gene.
Me and Gene. Speaking of the 22 Phillies, and I brought this up on the air, so this is not the first time I brought it up. But before other people start throwing this idea out there,
you're locking this down. This is good.
I want to be the first one. Mm-hmm. Harper has already said that he would consider moving to the outfield if it meant signing a difference-making first baseman or trading for a difference-making first baseman. Tim Kelly wrote a whole article on Patterson the other day. He is the second most respected Phillies voice from Bloomsburg University.
Is after Jake Starr? Oh no, that's Rust.
This is Bloomsburg. This is Bloomsburg.
My fault. I forget which school that you are the face of that we're talking about at a time. It gets confusing. You know?
Well, me and Jari Evans are the face of Bloomsburg. And then just me with Rustin. Just me with Rustin. But again, not to make it about me.
Keep talking.
But so he wrote this whole article about asking people what makes a good clubhouse guy. What makes a good clubhouse, you know, because we always talk about it and we assume guys are good clubhouse guys, whatever. Bryce Harper mentioned this guy. Brandon Marsh mentioned this guy. The Phillies could use another patient right-handed bat to play first base.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about bringing Reese back at the trade deadline?
All right, so my first thought, and there's no offense to current Flyers, but it feels very Flyersy.
Don't care. They've won the same amount of titles in their entire life. Yeah,
like, look, if it doesn't cost much, which I don't see it costing much, he's an expiring contract for them, you know.
Hold on. He does have a mutual option after a year. $4 million buyout.
Yeah. So he costs $4 million. If you don't want to keep him, it's not that big a deal. The point is like there's not that much of a commitment past the season, or you can keep him. Like, but here's the thing. I mean, Bryce Harper is
real quick,
way better at first base than Rhys Hoskins. Like, totally years agree. Better defensively. Like, so much better defensively. I want that to just be something that is out there. But they need a Ray and power bat. I'm just saying, you're not wrong. You are not wrong. Not wrong.
So
in a big way, like that is probably their biggest need other than bullpen. You know,
Bryce goes to left. Listen, I like Kepler. They could cut Kepler if they wanted. He's on a one-year deal.
Kepler would be a great bench bat. Are you kidding me?
Just
Kepler,
saying. If you wanted to, whatever.
Like Kepler's you could actually bring someone off the bench who could hit a home run for you in a spot. I mean, that'd be great.
Are you aware of Reese's numbers this year?
No. He was horrible last year. Is it bad or good?
So he's hitting .300. Ooh. With a .402 on base percentage and a .500 slugging percentage.
Reese is back. Okay, let's do it. I'm in. You convinced me.
He's got 7 home runs. If you could add that.
It would make me so happy. I mean, it would make all of us so happy. Sports is supposed to be fun, right?
Sports is supposed to be fun. You get Bryce back to the outfield. You bring in Reese. Now Max Kepler wears 17. What do you do about 17? That's a big.
I mean, this feels like you're having a larger conversation with Kepler about the number. Hey, Max, listen, we're gonna need your number, and also you're not playing anymore. So, thanks, pal.
Thanks for the 5 home runs so far.
Good luck getting a contract out there on the market. Since you're also in a contract year. All right.
Thank you for the insurance run today in Colorado.
But also, you're gonna be a bench guy for us, so you'll get some shots.
Yeah, so tough. that is
Topper's gonna have one of those tough conversations there, I think.
Yeah, that's fine. Reese Hoskins back to play first
like
base.
I totally see why you wanted to get this out there and why you were the first. That was worth being the first to put that out there.
Thank you.
Now I'm sure there'll be people out there who'll say it and claim they said it.
We'll
say.
Or you can put Schwarber in left field and have Hoskins be the DH, and then Harper can stay at first
base. I think I'd rather from a defensive perspective. I don't know, actually. That's a good point. Know. I mean,
you sure?
Reese is horrible for it. You're right. I think we might have forgotten how bad Reese was at first. And Harper's so good. Like, I think we take it for granted.
Dude, they won a pennant with Reese Hoskins playing first base.
Dude, they went the furthest of the whole group. Yeah, well, that's true. They went the furthest
and
run.
And Bohm, who's not as good defensively as he is right now, and Stott, who's not a very good defensive.
So hold up. We're going back. We're to the old school way. Screw defense.
Slug. Let's go.
I'm in.
Dude, Reese, a patient right-handed bat with power in the middle of this lineup. You can bump. You can have him right behind Schwarber. You can bump Cassidy down. Feed it to me.
Okay, I'm fully in. Honestly, it might have to be the title of the pod. All right. What else?
Soto.
Soto.
What's your official comment on the Juan Soto situation?
Dude, imagine paying a player $765 million, having 12 years and 4 months left on the contract, and it already is going this bad. Dude, I mean, like, this is like, I mean, at least with the Turner stuff, Turner comes here, right? By the way, like, less than half the contract, like, significantly less than half, like, noticeably less now. Turner comes here and he just struggles. Like, it's like we might have been annoyed or whatever, but there wasn't like stories about him coming out, about him being unhappy and like him like being sluggish out of the box and him not trying hard and all this. Like, I mean, it's, and then, I mean, for his manager to come out and say, we need him to hustle more. And then him in a subsequent, his next press conference to get out there and be like, no, I've been hustling. Like, I don't know where you go from there as a manager. Like, I don't know what, like, hey Juan, I know you think you're hustling, but me just more. I don't know. Like, what do you say? It's so, the whole, I can't. Never in a million years did I think that it would be this bad, this ass. And look, things can rebound. It's a long time. Like, I don't think they have to trade one sort of now or anything.
Well, crazy, and Lindor's first 2 years were bad.
Exactly. And now he's the face of the Mets. But it's, I'm not going to lie and say I don't absolutely love it. I mean, I've gotten true joy out of reading these stories, out of every time a headline pops up, I see Frank, what's his name from Barstool, Fleming. Like,
yeah, Frank Fleming.
Shout out to him. I enjoy him. Jim, like, just like yelling at the top of his lungs about how much he hates Juan Soto. Like, I can't get enough of it. It's my favorite content right now. Pump it in my veins. Like, I'll take all of it. That's my official statement.
Yeah, so there's two of my favorite contents right now. One is Marco Scudero tweeting out every day about how much he hates the Yankees and how he has more defensive run saves than Derek Jeter. I appreciate that content.
Yeah, I'm sure.
A close second is the Juan Soto thing. So I feel a couple of things. One, it could definitely be Yankees plans trying to create problem in that
division and all that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like Michael K coming out and saying that he wanted
credit,
to be a
Yankee. Credit to them.
Yeah. And two, just trade him back to the Yankees. Just get it over with. Just he probably wants to be a Yankee, seeing all the joy he had as a Yankee. Like, David,
you think Boris forced him to take? I mean, because it was, what was the difference? It was like, wasn't it like nothing? Wasn't it?
$5 million.
That's what I heard. Like, why would you go to a team over $5 million? That seems crazy. We're talking about $760 million. Are you serious? Like, that doesn't seem possible.
David Stearns is a small market GM anyway. He wants to think small market. So like, you might as well get as many prospects as you can. But him not swinging at six straight pitches last night and striking out in two straight, and I think he struck out three straight at bats.
It was unbelievable. Like, he it just didn't swing. I mean, these
so
couple
good
of pitches, like right by Crochet, so like good. Okay, sure, you want to give that to me? I'll take
it. Was it like Bryce versus Hobie Milner? It was Bryce it versus was, Hobie Milner.
It was like I couldn't believe it. It's like it just keeps getting worse.
Well, and like Soto, best content in the world. My one thing is, speaking of Crochet, it's pretty crazy how I think Crochet is awesome, and I think he could win the AL Cy Young, although Scooball is ridiculous. And speaking of which, Gavin Williams is heated up real quick. I want to make sure you know that. But
I've been out of that. I've been doing such a bad job of fans. I'm not paying attention at all.
Wow.
I only care about the Phillies right now.
You know? Wow. Look at this.
Interesting. You're the king of drafting a team and then just being like, eh.
Yeah, but I in three of my four leagues, because I'm running one team for Chris Middleton,
yeah.
Which That's is
weird.
It is. Yeah. But oh in God. Three of my four
Why
leagues,
I'm time to run a team. I don't have time to run the two teams I have.
I know. I'm not even getting paid for whatever. I'm dominant in three out of four leagues. So it's been going well. So I have, yeah, I've been forced to pay attention.
Do you want
to
run my two leagues for me?
No. Although I did tell you to pick up Ryan Weathers, and that was good.
Yeah,
you should probably pick up Will Warren too. But no, what was I going to say? Dude, the Crochet Lizardo. It's crazy how Lizardo,
wild. Yeah.
While I think Crochet is phenomenal, like, Lizardo's been equally as good. And they gave up Starlin Cava versus what the Red Sox
gave up. Oh, totally. Garrett Kershaw. Yeah. And look, Lizardo probably has a better pedigree over time, too. I mean, but yeah, it's pretty insane. All right. This is a good one.
Yep. For the first time in my life, Jill has texted me asking to wrap it up.
No way, Jill. Shout out to you. I love you so much. Real quick, last thing that we're going to do. Shout out to the Miller Lite account of the week. It's Locust Rendezvous in the city. Today's Miller Lite bar of the week is Locust Rendezvous in Center City, Philadelphia, where you can watch all Phillies games with $4 Miller Lite draft special. Love a good draft, a Miller Lite draft. Go to locustrendezvous.com. All right, Fritzy, again, remember May 31st, come hang with us. It's going to be super, super awesome. Do they have a three-gamer? Are they playing on Monday? I forgot to check.
They're not playing on Monday. They don't play on any holidays. So would never play on July 4th or Memorial Day.
It's so, what are we doing? Like, why have Memorial Day without baseball?
I'll talk to you. Hey, whatever. I'll talk to you at 10 o'clock tomorrow night, pal. I'll talk to you at 10 o'clock. You'll be locked in for the 10 o'clock start.
I actually, this is great because it's a weekend. I will watch the Athletic series. This is awesome. I'm in. It'll be good. I'm excited to watch that ballpark, too. I'm excited to watch the ballpark.
I'm going to have to, I'll probably take a cat nap between the fourth and sixth.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, yeah. Like, I'm waking up at, you know, my normal time tomorrow. So tomorrow nights will be tough, but I'm going to make it happen. Okay. It's going to be awesome. Good. All right. So point being, I'm sure we'll record at some point on Monday. So I got a movie. I'm going to see Mission Impossible on Monday, Emily and I.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy. It's going to be awesome.
Dude, what are
Final
you,
12? Raggedy.
Mission Raggedy. Impossible?
Oh, these movies are great, dude. Emily and I see every new Mission Impossible movie in the theaters together. It's great. It's great. Emily's got the movie taste of a 14-year-old boy. It's hilarious. She likes action movies and you know, the comedies we were talking about before, and that's it. She likes
I haven't seen that, a movie in, in 3 years.
Dude, you know how much I love movies. I never get to go to the movies, so we're going to drop Zoe off at her Graham's. We go to the movies. I'm so excited. It's going to be awesome. But that's later in the day, so we can get it done in the morning and stuff. So, great. Well, I'm sure we'll cry on Monday. Awesome. But we'll make it work with Jack's schedule, too, because you know how busy Jack is. All right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks for thinking of me one time. Thanks for thinking of me.
Hey, I'm right? I mean, come on, I'm here.
Appreciate it.
I got your back. All right. We'll be back after the Athletic series. Shout out to the Phils, man.
Hold on.
Some games.
Hold on. Last time they played the A's out there was the rebirth of Christopher Sanchez. So it's a pretty monumental series.
Well, to be fair, they've never played the A's in Sacramento, but I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying. Don't be a Richard. I was making a point.
Don't be a Richard is a great line. All right. We'll talk to you guys later. He's Fred and Seltzer.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking or music. Or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.